This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Peter Moore, editor of Men's Health. We want to get his insights as we learn that former President Bill Clinton needed a stent placed in a coronary artery to relieve 100% blockage. That, of course, comes about 5.5 years after the former president underwent quadruple bypass surgery. So what do we know about his condition based on the need for this procedure? What are some symptoms that you do need some attention to your heart and your arteries inside the cardiac area? And what are some good heart health tips overall? And Peter, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Well, this follow-up procedure here, the stent, it obviously didn't take long. He's back home now. But for someone who's had quadruple bypass surgery, is this something that's for the most part expected, or is this another warning flag?
Well, you know, you can draw the analogy with someone who's had a quadruple bypass. It's like a plumber who comes to your house and he doesn't have quite the pipes that he needs, so he uses whatever he has at hand. You know, those pipes aren't going to last as long as the ones that, you know, are the original equipment on the house. Well, in this case, you know, of course, I'm not intimately familiar with the surgery that he went through, but from what I understand, probably when you go through a quadruple bypass, what they're going to do is they're going to grab an artery from your leg and use it to bypass the area where your heart is experiencing those blockages. Well, it's not at all unusual when you grab an artery from the leg that, because it's not exactly designed for the task it's being put to, sometimes you can have quick buildup in that artery that is used for the bypass, or you could have a buildup on either side of that bypass, or it could be that there's just another area in the former president's heart that was suffering the same problems that he was 4 years ago, and that's why they needed to go with the angioplasty and stent.
Now, once the stent is in there, obviously it widens the blood vessel and blood presumably can begin flowing there again. How long do those tend to last?
Well, you know, here's the deal. You know, actually, what widens the artery is the that's the angioplasty part of it. There's a you know, actually a little party balloon that they send in there on a catheter. They blow up the balloon. It widens the artery where it's constricted, and then it's almost as if they, you know, prop up the tunnel inside there with the stent, which is, it's kind of like a wire framework that holds it open once the balloon has done that. It's a pretty remarkable piece of equipment that they threaded into the former president's body. So, you know, depending on which kind of artery we're talking about, if, you know, you're not having a bypass, meaning you just have, your heart is still functioning with its original set of arteries, it can go on indefinitely. And I myself had a stent put in about 8 years ago, and haven't, since that time, I haven't felt the same symptoms that I had that caused me to go to the hospital and have the angioplasty and stent then. So I'm a living, breathing example of somebody who, 7 years into it, you know, hasn't had to go in for any further procedures because the angioplasty and stent did their job.
Perfect transition, Peter, because some folks may wonder what the real symptoms are for a heart problem, whether it's a full-blown heart attack or just a warning sign that some serious attention needs to be paid to the cardiac system. What was your experience, and what are some typical symptoms?
Well, I was on a 20-mile bike ride on Martha's Vineyard, and I was thinking, you know, I've never quite experienced this before, which was shortness of breath. When I exerted myself on the bicycle, I felt kind of a pressure that was general all across my chest, and I was thinking, you know, this just can't be right. I'm going to pedal back home, and I'm going to make an appointment with my doctor when I return from vacation. Now, there I'm showing another symptom of people who have heart problems, which is stupidity, because they often delay treatment because they think, oh, no, this isn't a heart problem. It must be something else. You know, I'll just wait a while. The former president himself, I heard, was having these these symptoms. It was the chest pain, that squeezing, the radiating pain, meaning it going from your chest into other areas of your body, could be down your arm, could be radiating to your jaw. All of those symptoms are things that should send you immediately to the ER. The president, the former president, decided he was going to wait until the storm abated in New York before he went to the hospital, and we might have been making, you know, plans for a state funeral now had things taken a different turn.
We're talking with Peter Moore, editor of Men's Health. And Peter, you mentioned the tightness in the chest. That was a symptom you felt, as well as the shortness of breath. Obviously, the radiating pain down the arm is a classic sign that something's wrong. Anything more subtle that most people would just be like, eh, I probably ate something bad or just didn't get enough sleep. It'll be fine.
You know, it's nausea and sweats are another two that people will come across. But, you know, it's the what you need to watch out for is if you exert yourself at all, even just standing up to, you know, walk through the house, and it causes the pain to increase, then you realize that your body under stress experiences more pain. And that's, you know, that's what I felt when I was on my bicycle that day. You know, whenever I tried to accelerate through the pain I was having, it just got worse. And, you know, educated as I am now, I would have hopped off my bike, called an ambulance, headed straight for the hospital in Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, I was lucky enough to survive. The president, former president, was too this weekend. But, you know, really time is of the essence when you start feeling any of these symptoms.
What if someone's just basically horrifically out of shape and they get out of breath going back to the kitchen to get another drink before they plunk down to watch the game? Is that a sign that there's a cardiac issue, or is that just a sign that you need to start working out?
Well, you know, nine times out of ten, it would not be a sign that you're having a heart attack. That one time out of ten, it could be. So, you know, we all need to be very aware and, you know, attuned to our bodies. But I think really what you're looking for is a combination of symptoms. You know, you've got the pain, you've got the shortness of breath, you've broken out in a sweat. You know, the more symptoms you accumulate under stress, the more you should be thinking of dialing 911 and not watching the end of the game.
Peter, about 60 seconds left here. Let's talk about just general good tips on keeping your heart healthy. And obviously, there's family history and all sorts of other things that factor into this. But across the board, what are some smart ways to keep your heart as healthy as possible?
Well, you know, I think one problem that people often have is that they think they need to be running marathons to qualify as somebody who's exercising. Really, what we all ought to be focusing on is remaining active. And that can mean, you know, taking a walk for 20 or 30 minutes after dinner in the evening. You know, exercise can be, you know, as modest as you want it to be. Just make sure that it's happening every day and that, you know, you're not letting yourself fall slack on the couch.
Very good. And Peter, go ahead and give the website for your magazine.
It's menshealth.com.
Menshealth.com. Peter, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Peter Moore, editor of Men's Health. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.